Can I have a little more bass in my monitor? A little more bass in the monitor. A little less bass. A little less bass. Just wrapped up an outdoor festival. Hi, it's July the 4th in the year 2017, year of our Lord, the Trump and Fuhrer. I'm actually not doing a July the 4th festival because this year, when people say, hey, we got July the 4th, you want to come do our outdoor? I said, no. You know what? No. This year, I don't want to fucking do any outdoor festivals on July the 4th. Fuck that. Actually, my monitor is a little bit low in here. That's why I completely fucking missed my cue. It's okay, I can blame Randy. I can blame the matriarchy, because it certainly isn't my fault. Yes, I am exactly like a woman. Nothing is ever my fault. Everything bad that happens to me is the fault of the patriarchy. Now, of course, every good thing, I'll take credit for that, but I'm not going to take any responsibility for the bad things, just like a fucking woman. And yes, all women are like that. And yes, this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is a weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect, homes that only destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. Does not matter where you are, you will be fucking destroyed. Alright, that goes over there. What else do I got to fucking deal with here? We are going to attempt... a lot of things. Today I'm going to attempt to wrap up the discussion about ADHD Nation, Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic by Alan Schwartz. Which again, is an excellent book. I can highly recommend you read or listen to, if you're an audiobook kind of person, read or listen to this book. It's very good. What do we need to do the administrative shit. What I already said, today's July the 4th in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2000. Still no wall. Still no wall between the United States and Mexico. Still no concentration camps for people who voted for Hillary Clinton. Feeling pretty fucking disappointed in Donald Trump. Some people think I'm joking about those. I'm not. What else? I am the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, in the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy. We are here at the palatial recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, communist enclave that it is. I was meaning to look. I forgot to do this. This has nothing to do with today's episode. I wanted to see what percentage of people in the People's Republic of Fort Collins voted for Hillary Clinton. As I recall, and this is my recollection, so I could be completely fucking wrong. As I recall, looking at the map of Colorado in the election in the counties, of course, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins were all blue because they all voted for Hillary, and the rest of the state, or at least most of the rest of the state, was red because that's where the normal people are. Anyhow, I wanted to look that up and find out what percentage of people in the People's Republic of Fort Collins voted for the Trump and Fuhrer versus the Cunt and Fuhrer. The Cunt and Fuhrer! I kind of like that. I just made that up. Cunt and Fuhrer. Voter percentage in FOCO. Put that on my notes. The Cunt and Fuhrer. It's not bad. I should write that down before I forget. The Cunt. Should I spell I-N or E-N? Cunt-N. E-N. Cunt-N. Fuhrer. I love it. It's my new name for Hillary Clinton, the Cunt-N Fuhrer. What else? Today's episode is sponsored by Asshole Consulting, assholeconsulting.com. On that interwebs thing, we'll talk about Asshole Consulting at some point. And yes, we will talk about Aaron Clary's literary canon at some point. Right now, I want to get started. I have to back up in the book because, all right, did I forget anything important today? Blah, blah, blah. It's July 4th. Yep, okay, good. I got it. Oh, thank you. God, dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSSC.com if you want to send emails. Speaking of emails, Jim I got your email with the link to the podcast about fur babies. Jim sends me this. It's just, he sends me an email. He's like, would you like to do an episode about fur babies or something like that? And it's a link to a podcast talking about how more homes have pets than children. And it's got this list of these experts that are on the podcast. And I'm just, you guys know how I feel about, my feels about and my experience, having dated some of them, you know my worldview on women who have dogs, especially the little bitty useless dogs. You know, not like real dogs, like hunting dogs or shepherd dogs, or, you know, at least those dogs have a purpose. The little bitty dogs that you just have because they're a substitute for the baby you can't have because you're too fucking psycho and fucked up to find a man. Oh, you already know my opinion of those women. But Jim asked me, would you like to do an episode about... Of course I would like to do an episode about this. It's like asking me, great one, would you like to have sex with three redheaded volleyball girls? Well, yes. A great one. Would you like to make fun of people who substitute animals for relationships with other humans because they can't fucking have relationships with other humans? Yes. Yes, I would love to talk about that. I haven't listened to the podcast yet, but I will. Oh, God, am I looking forward to this. I might even... No, I'm not going to have time today. Because I have to go hang out with another human being later on to... I mean, other than... Randy, I have to go hang out with a human being with a penis and who therefore has a non-fucked up view of the world. Of course, he did vote for Hillary Clinton. He did vote for the Kuttenfuhrer. But anyhow, I'm going to go hang out with a real person today and drink some beer and interact with other humans. Quite possibly make fun of him for voting for the Kuttenfuhrer. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, Jim, yes, thank you for the link. We'll be getting to that at some point in the future. I can almost guarantee it because it looks too fucking amazing. Back to the book before I keep getting distracted. ADHD Nation, Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic by Alan Schwartz. I have to back up because I skipped a section I was supposed to read. We're on page 201. Reminder, Connors, the person Connors in this book, Dr. Connors, is the man who discovered, created, founded, invented, whatever you want to call it, the syndrome, because it sure is not a disease, the condition, the syndrome known as ADHD. And then when he discovered how many people were being diagnosed with it, he said, what the fuck? There's no way in hell that many people have this. This is being overdiagnosed. Okay. One day, Connors clicked on a web article about a new... Oh, there goes my voice. Hang on. Work with me here, voice. Work with me. I ain't gotta... One day, Connors clicked on a web article about a new study headlined... Drug therapy for parents ADHD improves kids' behavior. Apparently, a researcher had determined that 38 men and women with ADHD who took Vivace showed better, quote, ability to help their children do homework and interact with their children in a more positive, nurturing way, unquote. Which made them more obedient. The message? Treat your ADHD with Vivacine and your kids will act better too. Only after the two-page article concluded did it acknowledge that Shire had paid for the study. The Times profiled a doctor in rural Georgia who prescribed Adderall and Concerta not because children had real ADHD, but merely to help them in what were financially strapped subpar schools. Quote, "I don't have a whole lot of choice," unquote, the doctor explained candidly. Quote, "We've decided as a society that it's too expensive to modify the kid's environment, so we have to modify the kid," unquote. The we, the royal we. See, we have decided it's too expensive to modify the environment. This goes back to the study where they said, well, we can give the kids medication or we can work with the kids on modifying their behavior. It's like, it's easier just to medicate them. I do also wonder why we as a society have decided it's too expensive to modify the kids' environment when there are so many people in our society that devote so much of their time to talking about how much they care about the children's. I mean, if nothing's too good for the children's, why can't we modify their environment instead of modifying them with medication? Perhaps even more amazing, several experts conceded that this approach was not necessarily rare. They agreed that because class sizes have consistently increased, while physical education and other services waned, doctors were indeed being forced to rely on medication to keep some kids from getting sucked down failure's whirlpool. Stephen Colbert on the Colbert Report discussed the phenomenon while coining his own term for it, meducation. Jumping back ahead, page 232. Yes, treat your own ADHD and help your child, because nothing's too good for the children's. Page 232. Coming soon to a doctor near you. How far am I going? I go all the way. Ask any of the girls. Okay, that's how far I'm going. At the current rate, in 2017, 500,000 American children will be taken to their doctors and be newly diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Many of them will receive thoughtful and reasonable evaluations and benefit from medication. Another sizable number will be seen by casual clinicians who either bypass the child's real problems or give in to his frustrated parents and teachers. Some of the adolescents will be faking ADHD just to get Adderall for themselves or others. Whatever the actual breakdown, there will be 500,000 new diagnostic visits, millions of follow-ups, tens of millions of pills, and hundreds of millions in sales. Lots of business for everyone. But remember, the government is protecting us from the corporations, and everything's going to be okay. Apparently, though, this market must expand. The same folks who built today's ADHD machine, the same doctors, the same drug companies, are already working on tomorrow's. And this, I'm so grateful that the government is protecting me from the corporations. This is the difference between capitalism, where people provide value and make a profit, and the corporatism, combined with the propaganda machine, combined with the media not doing their job, combined with people who have children being lazy and stupid, combined with public school. You put all of this stuff together and you get this giant void of stupidity. Despite the fact that everybody thinks they know everything because the internet, you get this giant void of stupidity where these fake diseases like ADHD can be created, profited from, and then expanded upon. And the expansionism, just like government expansionism, just like the expansionism of the social justice warriors, the expansionism never stops. A new disorder is being buffed and burnished as you read this. Its name? Sluggish Cognitive Tempo, or SCT. It's kind of like ADHD, but not quite. Sluggish cognitive tempo, as currently conceived, is a syndrome marked by daydreaming, lethargy, I mispronounced that word, lethargy, thank you. It's a syndrome. We're inventing a new syndrome. For those of you who are a little slow, the drug companies are inventing a new syndrome, and you're going to need medication for it. The syndrome is marked by daydreaming, lethargy, trains going by when you're doing your podcast, and slowed thinking or behavior. Slowed thinking. Okay, so now you've automatically diagnosed everybody who voted for the Kuttenfuhrer. According to one journal's primer on the subject, kids with SCT, they are anything but hyperactive. Rather than move faster than we would prefer, they move slower. They're not slow in the crass intelligence sense. They just don't seem to concentrate in constructive ways. Their thought-to-action connections a little fritzy. So you see, if the kid is too fast, he has ADHD. But if the kid is too slow, he has SCT. There's all these kids who weren't behaving hyperactively. We couldn't get them on the Ritalin and the Adderall. So we, the royal we, the medical profession, the scientists who believe in global warming, the evil corporations that you're being protected from by the government, have all invented a new disorder so that we can dope the people who don't have ADHD. Because if you don't have ADHD, you must obviously have SCT. One of SCT's mechanics, Keith McBurton of the University of California, there's a surprise, at San Francisco, explained it thusly. Quote, "These children are not the ones giving adults much trouble, so they're easy to miss. They're the daydreamy ones. The ones with work that's not turned in, leaving names off papers, or skipping questions, things like that, that impinge on grades or performance. Someone who has a son or daughter who does this excessively says, 'I know about this from my own experience.' They know what you're talking about." Unquote. Yes, because children who forget to put their name on their paper, or skip questions, or didn't turn in their homework, yes, they must have a disorder. It couldn't possibly be that children just don't give a shit about this stuff. Couldn't be that children recognize that school is a waste of their time. Couldn't be that the shit they're fucking learning, quote, learning, is boring. It couldn't be that they're tired of being treated like cattle. No, no, no. They have a disorder, and they're going to need some medication. Or maybe, have you ever considered this? Maybe if your child is having all these problems, maybe your child does not have a disorder. Maybe your child has been cursed. You may say, great one. There's no such thing as curses. Magic, voodoo, all that stuff, it's not real. I'm not talking about that kind of curse. I'm talking about a very real, a documented curse. I am talking about the curse of the high IQ. You say, ooh, well, what kind of curse would you have with a high IQ? How does that work? Well, it works like this. If you have a high IQ, it's difficult for you to interact with and put up with people who are just fucking dumber than you. You want to talk about philosophy or physics or advanced mathematics, and the people around you want to talk about how that one there guy, did you see how he threw that ball? He threw that ball to that other guy and that guy caught that ball. Oh my God, did you see? And it's one thing, you know, it's one thing if you're watching the football game and the guy throws the ball and the other guy catches it. You go, damn, did you see that motherfucker throw that ball? That was a fuck. God damn, that was a good catch. I'll do that if I'm watching a football game. Yeah, great. That was fantastic. That was athleticism beyond anything I will ever have. But when people are still talking about, did you see that guy throw that ball? When people are still talking about that 4 days later, you might be dealing with someone with a low IQ. And if you have a high IQ, putting up with these people is a curse. You might be surrounded by people who voted for the Kuntenfuhrer because they believe Donald Trump is a racist. You know why Donald Trump is a racist? Because CNN said so. It's on CNN, and everything on CNN is true. Did you know global warming is real? Did you know there's 47 different genders? And that's, I myself have 47 different genders, because did you know that sex, like male and female, are social constructs? And these were created by the patriarchy to oppress women? Right, so if you hear things like that, and it's hard for you to deal with that kind of stupidity, you may have a high IQ, and thus you may be cursed. And you say, well, fuck, is there any way I can get rid of this curse? Yes, there are two options for dealing with the curse of the high IQ. Option number one requires a sacrifice. Actually, they both require a sacrifice. Option number one requires the sacrifice of a red-headed volleyball girl. You have to bring her to me, and I have to have sex with her, preferably multiple times. And that won't actually help you with the curse you have from having an IQ, but it'll make me really happy. The other way you can deal with the curse of the high IQ is you can buy the book, Curse of the High IQ, by Aaron Clary, available at Amazon.com, in Kindle, for those of you who can't handle real books like real men, or Dead Tree version, for those of us who can handle real books because we are real men, or in the audiobook version, for those of us who like to be able to listen to the book while we're out trail running. Curse of the High IQ. Aaron Clary talks about what the curse, the manifestation of the curse. What does it look like? You're wondering, do I have this curse? Well, he'll tell you some of the symptoms, and he'll tell you some of the, and there's not really solutions. There's really not solutions, but there are things you can do to cope with it. Clary, you're missing out again. Why don't you get high IQ declared a disorder, and then you could throw in with a drug company and you could come up with some kind of medication for this and you could make a fortune. You're missing opportunities here. In the January 2014, the Journal of Abnormal Child Psychology, that's an actual journal. That's kind of scary. Decided to throw a SCT coming out party. More than 100 pages of papers described the condition and pondered exactly how it affects children. Isn't it fascinating that these things are diseases? Well, it's a symptom. Good, you're calling it a symptom because everyone knows it's not a disease. But, or not a symptom, disorder. Condition. Isn't it fascinating how we've made it through all these years of human existence and never noticed any of these things before? It's like, how did we make it all those years and never notice that there were 27,000 different genders? Maybe because there aren't. How have we made it all these years and never noticed that children not writing their name on the paper before they turn it in is a disorder that needs to be treated with medication? Although no formal definition or roster of SCT symptoms were or have yet been decided upon, and this is how you know this is not science. This is not medicine. They've created a syndrome, SCT, sluggish cognitive tempo, but nobody actually has decided what the symptoms are yet. Nobody sat around and said, okay, we're going to invent a disease called the flu. Okay, the flu, it exists. Now we'll figure out what the symptoms are. Nobody said, hey, let's invent something called, let's come up with tuberculosis. Okay, tuberculosis, that's a okay, tuberculosis, do we all agree? Everybody, tuberculosis, we like that. Okay, tuberculosis, that's a thing. Great, okay, now let's figure out what the symptoms of it are. When you invent the disorder before you know the symptoms of the disorder, that's not even the terrifying part. The terrifying part is how many people can't see what's wrong with this. The terrifying part is how many people who think they believe in science will come to believe that SCT is a real thing, even though the people who invented it don't know what the symptoms are. And we can thank the fake news, and we can thank Bill Nye, the pedophile science guy. I still stand by my prediction that sometime there is a day coming when it will, when we will get evidence that Bill Nye is a child molester. You just look at him, he just oozes pedophile. Once again, how the rest of you cannot see this, I don't know. It's obvious. It's like Gator. I don't know. I look at him. It's like his dick has been in the ass of an 8-year-old boy. It's just obvious. I can't explain it. It's just obvious. Although no formal definition or roster of SCT symptoms were or have yet been decided upon, the journal authors were remarkably confident. Some claimed that debate over several claimed that debate over sluggish cognitive tempo's existence, quote, seems to be laid to rest, unquote. Remember, they still don't know the symptoms. But the debate over whether or not it exists has been laid to rest. Oh, we don't know the symptoms, but it exists. It's like global warming, right? I mean, if your kid moves too fast, he's got a disorder. If your kid moves too slow, he's got a disorder. If your kid writes his name on the paper twice, he's got a disorder. If your kid writes his paper on the paper none, he's got a disorder, right? If it's too hot, it's global warming. If it's too cold, it's global warming. If there's more hurricanes than last year, it's global warming. If there's fewer hurricanes than last year, it's global warming. It's just like global warming. No matter what the kid does, the kid has a fucking disorder. But no matter what the kid does, the kid needs to be medicated. No matter what the fucking weather does, it's global warming. Okay, this is not science. This is not science. This is religion. Right? Well, if the child is born with a disease, it's God's will. If the child lives in spite of the disease, well, that's God's will. If the child dies, that's God's will. It's a fucking religion. Several claimed the debate over sluggish cognitive tempo's existence seems to be laid to rest, even though the vast majority of psychiatrists, let alone the wider medical community, had never heard of it in the first place. After reading these papers, doctors outside the SCT cabal were horrified. Dr. Alan Francis, a prominent psychiatrist who worked with Keith Connors at Duke, recoiled and said, quote, "This is a public health experiment on millions of kids," unquote. But don't worry, Dr. Alan Francis. You see, the government is here to protect us. The government will protect those children from being doped by incompetent doctors and will protect those children from simply being used to milk money from the parents and the Obamacare and the taxpayers to go to the corporations. Because without the government, who would build roads? Yes, my friends, the government is keeping you safe. So safe it's like wearing 5 condoms. Oh, the government. Oh my God, it's not a big deal, guys. These are scientists. They all believe in global warming and SCT. There's a scientific consensus that SCT is a real thing. Everybody who published a paper in this fucking journal, they all agree it exists. It's a consensus. It must be real because science is determined by how popular something is. I believe in science. I care about children. I voted for Hillary Clinton because I really want to save the world from global warming. And Donald Trump is a racist because it said so on CNN. I do have a liberal arts degree. How did you know? One top government health official, who's supposed to be protecting me from the corporations but is not doing it, one top government health official, after reading the journal, said in disgust, quote, "It almost looks like an April Fool's issue," unquote. What was it they said? People will believe a big lie over a small lie. And some people just like being lied to. You, however, as a listener to this podcast, you might not like being lied to. You might enjoy the truth. Maybe that's why you listen to me. Or maybe you're just fucking, you hate my guts and you think I'm stupid and I'm entertaining. But if you like the truth, if you don't like being lied to, and if you have problems in your life, if you think your kid might have ADHD or SCT or BMY or XYZ or GLBTKKK or any other disorder. Actually, Clary can't really give medical advice. Sorry, guys. Clary cannot diagnose your child for ADHD. Actually, he can. He can't just can't do it officially because he'll tell you there's no such thing as ADHD, probably. But if you want the truth, if you're tired of being lied to, if you don't believe bullshit, and you want to make some improvements in your life, Asshole Consulting can help you out. AssholeConsulting.com. You go over there, you send him a mail, you fucking ask your question. Yes, he's going to charge you money. Get to the point, be concise, tell him the great one sent you. And you don't necessarily ask him about personal problems, right? You could just say, "Hey, Aaron, I'd like to request a video. Would you do a video about SCT, sluggish cognitive tempo. Do you think it's a real thing or not?" He'll take your money. He'll do that. Aaron will make a video about damn near anything. as long as he can legally do so. Because the government, which is protecting him from the corporations, says there are certain things he's not allowed to talk about because freedom of speech. Ah, God, again, you statist.
We have freedom of speech.
Great. Why don't you talk to me about what stocks and bonds you think I should buy?
Well, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not a...
Oh, where's your freedom of speech? Oh, but it's okay, though. It's okay, though, because we need the government. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any roads. Then what would we do without roads? Oh, we'd use our jetpacks. Oh, wait, we don't have jetpacks because the government has stifled technological development. Anyhow, I don't know what the fuck that has to do with anything about Aaron Cleary and asshole consulting. But if you want some technological development in your own life, go to Asshole Consulting, get a swift kick in the ass. Speaking of people who need swift kicks in the asses, some SCT researchers claim that they are simply trying to resolve some long-standing confusion about ADHD, whose name has been more than clumsy since hyperactivity arrived in 1987 and was monkeyed with again in 1994. No wonder, a few years later, Dr. Mark Vonnegut couldn't even describe what ADHD looks like and finally announced the diagnosis is a mess. Sluggish Cognitive Tempo attempts to rename the merely inattentive children who never quite fit the ADHD construct anyway, which is not such a terrible idea. But SCT advocates have set their sights so much higher. Some say that as many as 3 million children have the disorder, half of them already diagnosed with ADHD and merely getting reclassified, but the other half receiving a new psychiatric label they wouldn't carry otherwise. The result? At a time when ADHD rates are pushing the obscene, at least another million children will be told they too have a brain disorder. One charmingly named Sluggish Cognitive Tempo. Again, this is all of your. This is all about creating broken people, so the pharmaceutical corporations can make money. Once again, when you look around our society, look at almost everything in our society. Notice how it is geared towards creating victims. What have I explained to you people before? The state. And the state is not just the government, the state is the corporations, the government, the education system, the horizontal enforcement, everything else. The state needs victims. You take these children, you tell them they're fucked up and they need medication. Well, now they got to buy the medication. The parents got to buy the medication. Wow, you got to get the medication. Now the fucking pharmaceutical corporation makes money. But no, wait, but now your insurance... Your insurance has to cover the medication. Well, now the insurance corporations can charge a little bit more. Well, now we got to help all these children. We got to have outreaches and we got to do things for them. So now we got to have government programs. So now we got to have more taxes. So now the government's got to hire more people because you got more victims. The victimology, the victim creation, it just feeds the fucking beast. No researcher is more invested, both intellectually and financially, in the success of SCT than Russell Barkley, whose decades of research in ADHD have resulted in hundreds of papers, a dozen books, 700 speeches in 16 countries, and countless dollars from appreciative drug sponsors. Dr. Barkley's marketing of SCT is anything but sluggish. He has proclaimed in lectures and educational videos that Sluggish Cognitive Tempo, quote, has become the second attention disorder, unquote. Barkley has been an impassioned editor of SCT's Wikipedia page, adding material to support the disorder's construct while deleting dissent. Yes, because that's how science works, right? You delete... Well, I mean, it's worked for global warming. Anyone who dissents with your opinion, you just delete their comments. You call them names. He has written a textbook chapter on SCT and devised the first Connors-like symptom checklist for doctors to diagnose adults. Even though the condition has never been recognized by the American Psychiatric Association or anyone else beyond, well, him. Perhaps more will if Barclay succeeds in another crucial effort. He is lobbying for SCT's name to be changed to Concentration Deficit Disorder, or CDD, much as Minimal Brain Dysfunction rebranded itself as ADD almost 40 years ago. And once again, when you see this sort of marketing effort, your arm is broken. Well, we got to figure out a better name for broken arms so that we can sell people a cast more easily. You know, we really need to sell people more cast when they break. Bone disalignment malfunction. No, we can't call it. Skeletal system disalignment syndrome, SSD. It's a broken arm. It's a real thing. It's an actual problem. It can be medically confirmed. You don't have to engage in marketing. You don't have to rebrand it in order to sell it to people. Oh, it's not global warming anymore. It's climate change, right? If it's real, you don't have to market it. If it's real, you don't have to change the name to get people to believe in it. Anyone who gets diagnosed with SCT will find help ready and waiting thanks to Eli Lilly, who has already enlisted Barclay, McBurnett, and other doctors to investigate how Strata would treat SCC2. This was a riskless bet in many ways. SCT is merely a wing of ADHD, so it stands to reason that Strata would provide benefits there as well. Strata is another fucking dope that your kids may or may not be put on for being normal. McBurton led a study funded and designed by Lilly, whose results appeared in a 2013 journal paper. I wonder what the results are. People who manufacture medication funded a study to prove that their medication is needed. I wonder what the result of that study might be. I can't imagine. I'm not going to make any predictions here. I could be wrong. Quote, this is the first study to report significant effects of any medication on SCT. Unquote, the paper concluded, referring to the condition with alarming matter-of-factness. Barclay, who had been paid $118,000 by Lilly from 2009 to 2012 for consulting and speaking engagements, remarked in a subsequent article that the study produced, quote, an exciting finding. Unquote. Even more exciting for Lilly, no doubt. If SCT does become identified as a medical condition and Strattera approved as treatment, Lilly's patent and profitability would get the customary extension. Asked about all these efforts, an Eli Lilly spokesperson stared straight ahead. Quote, sluggish cognitive tempo is one of the many conditions that Lilly scientists continue to study to help satisfy unmet medical needs around the world, unquote, she said. Ah, yes, the world. He then goes on in the book, I'm not reading this part, he then goes on to talk about ADHD and the medication around the world. Because you see, once you've saturated the kids, once you've got the kids all ADHD'd, that's when now you move to the parents. They got the parents' ADHD'd. Now we got the SCT. We're going to have the kids. They're going to have the SCT. We're going to move to the parents. The parents are going to have the SCT. We got to do it. But there's the world. Oh, think about all those children in those African countries. How much of the poverty in Africa could be traced to ADHD and SCT? Now, of course, the poor people in Africa, they can't afford this medication. So, gosh, I bet there'll be charities will spring up. There'll be government programs. You know, help us. You know, you see the commercials. This poor little child in Africa has ADHD but can't get his medication. For just the cost of one cup of coffee per day, you can help three African children get ADHD medication they need to live a better life. You can see it all coming. Every bit of it. Speaking of things that you can see coming, can you see this coming? Can you see a quick plug for Aaron Cleary's literary canon? Yeah, you probably saw that, didn't you? Yes. Becoming transparent. See that, you know, I'm not sold on this advertising thing because they had to talk about it. Well, great one. You could just spit the shit out real quick and be done with it. Yeah, I could. But if I'm going to do this work, I like to have some kind of fun with it, or at least attempt to have some kind of fun with it. Speaking of having fun, you could have fun at your bachelor pad. And if you have a bachelor pad, you need to read Bachelor Pad Economics. Even if you don't have a bachelor pad, you should still read it. Bachelor Pad Economics, it is one of the three books I recommend everybody with a penis should read. If you know anybody in your life, young men, when they turn 15 years old, give them a copy of Bachelor Pad Economics. It is the cradle-to-grave book, not the Obama cradle-to-grave, the self-sufficiency cradle-to-grave guide for the man. Poor Richard's Retirement for the Everyday American. It's a book for when you're getting closer to the grave part, but it also tells you how to do things to prepare for that. Most of it's not rocket science. But it's also none of it is the stuff you're ever going to hear from the fake news media. It's not what you're going to hear from financial planners. It's not what you're going to hear from the person at your bank. It's not what you're going to hear from people that tell you, don't worry, Social Security will take care of you. Oh, if you're a millennial, there ain't going to be no Social Security when you get there. That shit is going to collapse. And if you're a millennial, you also might want to read Worthless, the Young Person's Indispensable Guide to Choosing the Right Major. Do not be like people I know who are like, I'm going to major in marketing. I'm going to major in international communications. I'm going to major in English. I'm going to major in theater. But great one, don't you work in theater? Yes, I do work in theater. See, that's the difference. I work in theater. I did not major in theater. I love rubbing this in. I do not have a theater degree. I work in theater. I have a whole lot of friends with theater degrees. Let's see, baristas, waitresses, bartenders. That's what they're doing with their theater degree. I know one person with a theater degree that has a theater job. Just, that's the way it is, kids. And if you got your fucked up diploma already, maybe it's too late. Maybe you just need to accept that your life, like the United States, is going to fucking decline. It's going to go to shit. You fucked up, just like the United States. You fucked up. And now it's going to shit. You can fight it. You can whine. You can cry. You can go on the internet and you can fucking post things about how much you hate Donald Trump because Donald Trump is oppressing you, even though Donald Trump doesn't give a flying fuck about you. Or you can just kick back and enjoy the decline. Enjoy the Decline, Accepting and Living with the Death of the United States by Aaron Cleary. He'll go through, he'll teach you, he'll talk to you about how do you accept the fact that you cannot captain save a whole Western civilization. How do you let go of that? Because you got to let go of that, guys. Got to let go. Like I said it a couple of podcasts ago. If you are not prepared to just take voting away from women, because that's step number one. If you're not going to take voting away from women, then you're not going to captain save a whole Western civilization. Let it fucking go. Enjoy your life. Curse of the High IQ, which we already talked about. Reconnaissance Man, maybe you don't know what the fuck you want to do with your life. So maybe you've decided you're going to enjoy the decline. See, the Aaron Clary literary canon builds on itself. You can read each of these books individually, but they do all dovetail together. Let's say you have accepted, all right, I can't Captain Save-A-Ho Western Civilization. I am going to enjoy the decline. Well, how do I want to enjoy the decline now that the focus of my life is no longer saving Western civilization from itself? What do I do with my life? Do I just sit here and watch porn and play computer games? Do I start a podcast and talk about how much I want to bang redheaded volleyball girls? Well, you could do either of those things and be a total fucking loser. Or you could get Aaron Cleary's book, Reconnaissance Man. Or what is this book going to do for him? Well, it's going to teach you how to reconnaissance out what you might want to do in your life. You say, well, that sounds stupid. Okay, great. What is your life purpose? Why are you on the planet Earth? Tell me in three sentences, what is your life purpose? Oh, well, I don't really know. Oh, then I guess it sounds like you fucking need Reconnaissance Man, because if you had Reconnaissance Man and if you read it and you actually took it to heart, you actually took action on the principles you learned in that book, you'd know what your fucking purpose is. So yes, you need to read Reconnaissance Man. Don't tell me you don't. Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty for the Black Man Who Demands Better. If you are a black man, maybe you too have decided, okay, I'm going to enjoy the decline. So then where do you go from there? Well, you want to get out of poverty so you can enjoy the decline to the maximum fucking joyful happiness fucking ass-kickingest degree that you can. You want to read The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. Behind the Housing Crash, Confessions from an Insider, is where Cleary talks about how he predicted the housing crash. It's too late now, but maybe you can learn something from the past. And then there are his blog backups, the books that contain the best writing from CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. You got Captain's Quarterly, which comes out quarterly, Captain Capitalism Reserved, Captain Capitalism Top Shelf. And finally, as always, there is Boris the Shitting Buffalo. It's a fantastic novel written for a Russian ballerina. It's the shit. Let me put it, that's all, it's the shit. Trust me on this. Boris the Shitting Buffalo is the shit. We didn't finish the book because I'm a long-winded cocksucking motherfucker. Maybe next time. Happy 4th of July, everybody.